mexicanas. And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time right now for the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right now? Are you there, caller?
Me?
Yes, are you there, caller?
I am there.
Who are you, caller? Who are you?
I am Carol Pope.
Carol Pope, please explain yourself. What exactly are you doing these days? Is it true you are coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada to host the Oscars?
Yes, it is. But apparently the Oscars are in Los Angeles, so I've made a terrible mistake.
A simulcast, Vancouver, via Los Angeles, back to Vancouver with Carol Pope. And Carol, could you give a bit of background on yourself, please, for people that may not know? And you're going to be playing as well this Sunday at the Railway Club, I should say right off the bat, this Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday, I would say that I'm a Canadian rock icon. I had a band called Rough Trade. I'm kind of the godmother of Filth. I think that I would have to say that I begat Peaches and perhaps lesbians on ecstasy. I certainly had an influence on them.
And I guess I was wondering a bit about the lesbians and ecstasy, because I think that's why I, Nardwuar to Human Serviette, am speaking to you, Carol Pope. And actually, if anybody out there in Radio Land would like to speak to Carol Pope, it's 604-822-2487 at 604-UBC-CITR. And again, Carol Pope is coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, to the Railway Club this Sunday night. Actually, before I get into lesbians and ecstasy, what's going to be happening on Sunday night? What are you going to be doing on Sunday night? Who's in the band, Carol?
Who is in the band? Tim Welch, who I've worked with forever, Jungle Layla on bass, Jason Dana on drums, and I have a new album out called Transcend, and I'm going to be playing that. And we're also going to be taping Zed TV on Monday.
And we're going to play a track, the second track from your CD at the end of the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, which I really enjoy. I love the bridge on this. Love Strikes Hard, or is it the chorus? Love Strikes Hard, I love. That's my favorite one of your new release.
Oh, thank you.
Now, is that indicative of the stuff you're going to be playing? And I like that song. How does that differ from other stuff that you've done that people might know you for?
Well, I mean, the only other stuff that people might know me for is Rough Trade stuff, which is, you know, more synth, 80s, and this is, you know, this is like rock. I would say this album is rock, alt-rock, electronica.
And Carol Pope, you mentioned Lesbians and Ecstasy. I think that's why I'm speaking to you, because my friend Maya from the band The Gay is friends with Bernie from Lesbians and Ecstasy. How did you hook up with Lesbians and Ecstasy initially? Because Maya actually phoned me and said, hey, Nardwuar, would you like to play in Carol Pope's band? And I was like, oh my God. And I just couldn't do it because I just know I just couldn't deliver the quality quotient delivered by Carol Pope. Actually, all my buddies were available, but I was unavailable. But still, I was just not able to be able to comprehend such a massive thing, Carol Pope. So how did you hook up originally with the Lesbians and Ecstasy from Montreal?
I hooked up with one of them in Los Angeles through a mutual friend, and then I heard that song, which I've totally forgotten the name of, which is about me, that they do. I haven't actually hooked up with them, but that's the connection.
And you haven't actually been on stage with them or performed with them at all?
No, I know. It's wrong, isn't it? It's terribly wrong.
You're going to write that wrong when they're in town this Sunday night. Well, actually, no, Lesbians and Ecstasy will be at the Railway Club. At least none of the Lesbians and Ecstasy from Montreal will be at the Railway Club on Sunday night to go check out Carol Pope. Carol, we've also caught you on a recent episode of Train 48. Is that true? You were on a Train 48 episode?
Yes, I was.
Giving some advice to the kids. For the people that didn't catch that, what advice were you giving to the kids?
I was firing one of the characters because she was, you know, in a band. Oh, yeah, I did give some advice, didn't I? Oh, just be true to yourself, I think.
What did you think about Train 48? Was that the last time you were on Canadian TV? What do you think about Train 48?
It's very camp. It's kind of like the EastEnders on a train, isn't it? I was only on because my friend Krista is on the show, and she got me on the show. But it was fun because it's totally ad-libbed.
Carol Pope, did you ever get involved with anything like King of Kensington at all way back when? Did you ever make it as an extra on that show? Can we see any Rough Trade graffiti in the background on the King of Kensington?
No, I didn't do that show, but I've done a lot of TV.
Caller, are you there?
David.
Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead to Carol Pope. Are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello, caller. Are you there? Okay. Okay. Hello, caller. Are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead to Carol Pope, caller. Are you there, caller?
Caller, I'm here in Toronto. It's Greg Diamond calling from the bowels of CBC, where old tapes exist of Rough Trade on 90 Minutes Live doing great performances. I'm just phoning to say I'm a big fan.
Oh, my God. Those were the days. Them were the days.
We love the internet. Thank you so much, caller, for listening to the Nardwuar Human Serviette Show on the internet, Greg. Thank you.
The reception is very good.
It's amazing. Right to the bowels of the CBC. Now, Carol, Greg Diamond wrote this book called Mondo Canuck. Have you ever heard of the book Mondo Canuck at all, Carol Pope?
No, I haven't.
Greg, how would you describe the book?
I would describe it as a fun compendium of facts about Canadian pop culture from 1950 onward. Rough Trade figures very prominently.
Rough Trade doesn't get a dissing at all. In fact,
no.
Greg loves...
Many people do.
Yes, like BTO. You really take it out on BTO, don't you, Greg?
But we weigh down in favor of the Guess Who.
Now, on a recent roundtable discussion, is this true, Greg Diamond from the CBC, speaking live to Carol Pope, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, 604-822-2487, UBC-CITR, if anybody else has any questions. Not that Greg's questions aren't worthwhile, because, Greg, your question or your comment is... Explain to Carol Pope what you did on a recent roundtable discussion.
Well, Carol, I'm working on a new arts website at CBC, and we did a roundtable email discussion about make-out music. And we were going on in this discussion, and I realized there no one was mentioning any Canadian acts, and so I suggested Rough Trade obviously dealt with sex more than any other Canadian band ever, and... did a fantastic job doing it. It was the sexiest Canadian band of all time.
Well, thank you.
And I said All Touch was the sexiest Canadian song of all time.
Oh, my God. That's one of my favorite Rough Trade songs.
Did someone do a remix of that recently? Or?
Me. Well, yeah. I mean, Yeah, recorded a new version, and Jimmy Lamort did a remix.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to hear it.
And CBC prominence quite significantly into your life, doesn't it, Carol Pope?
Well, CBC, we did shows like 90 Minutes Live and the Zowski Show, and they kind of let us do whatever we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any Rough Trade stuff in the vaults, Greg Diamond? Because I know you go through the vaults at a CBC. Have you seen any Rough Trade outtakes or anything there, Greg Diamond, when you've been going through all the stuff?
No outtakes. I don't think the archives kept the outtakes. But definitely the one appearance in particular on 90 Minutes Live, which was, despite all the trashing it took in the media, they had some amazing guests on that show, musically.
Yeah, they did. Well, my sister actually was a producer on that show.
Oh, yeah.
And she, I think, would get people like Devo and the Runaways and stuff like that, who the CBC had never heard of.
Right, and there's that classic appearance by Iggy Pop on the show, too, where David Bowie wasn't allowed to play because of some of AF of M agreement, but he was sitting backstage as well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, like, some great music on that show.
Carol,
anyway, just
Carol
wanted to wish you well.
Well, one
Thank
second,
you.
Greg, while we have you in the line,
yes.
CBC and Rough Trade, there's a connection, isn't there, Greg? You have a hypothesis, don't you, Greg Diamond?
No, my only hypothesis that I know this is because Toronto is such a small town is that somehow Kevin Staples is related to Rex Loring.
Oh, yes. Rex is his uncle.
His uncle, I think, yeah.
And Rex Loring was an important anchor man, wasn't he, Greg Diamond?
He was huge at CBC in the 50s and 60s.
Uncle Rex. That's what we called him, Uncle Rex.
Well, thank you very much for phoning in, Greg Diamond.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. And a little plug for your show, perhaps. When's your show going to be coming on?
I'll come on your show and plug my show. It's going to be sometime in late spring or summer. It's a new CBC comedy.
Jimmy McDonald's Canada. Well, thanks so much, Greg Diamond. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening on the net. And doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doo.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. If anybody has any questions for Carol Pope, who's coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada this Sunday to perform at the Railway Cub, 604-822-2487, UBC CITR. We actually have an email question for you, Carol, and it just came in under the headline, Gay Pop. What does Carol think of all the gay pop now, which is so mainstream? Like in her day, it had to be all hidden, and now it's all SZA Sisters.
I don't know what to think. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's great that there's a lot of gay pop out there. I'm not madly insane about their Scissor Sisters like everybody else, because to me they're just like Elton John, only not. But no, it's great. You know, whatever gets it out there.
Did you ever get any trouble because of your image, because of the way you looked? Like, were you ever told to shut up or not do a certain song? I know you changed lyrics, but how much did you face of that back then? Was there a lot? Like, could have you gotten away with a lot more nowadays?
Yeah, I was the first person to grab my crotch on stage, and, you know, I used to whip people, and but the audience loved it. And, yeah, we only got in trouble for High School Confidential for Cream My Jeans, which is so tame. And, you know, other bands were, like, into bloodletting and stuff, but we couldn't, you know. And people used to, like, pull out their cocks and things in the audience, but but no, we didn't really get in trouble.
Did you ever show up at a taping or something and people said, maybe, Carol, you shouldn't wear that, or you were told to change stuff? I'm not saying, like, the actual lyrics and stuff, but the actual appearance.
No, just the crotch grabbing, you know, because I grabbed my crotch on the Junos and I did, you know, they couldn't stop that.
What did they say to you about crotch? Did they say, Carol, please don't grab your crotch, or did they have another way of phrasing it?
No, they didn't say anything, and they didn't, you know, I didn't do it in the rehearsal, and then I did it on live TV.
Carol Pope, one thing I didn't ask Greg about, which I think I maybe should have, one of his favorite things of Canadian history was, tears are not enough. And you participated in that. Do you remember your line in Tears Are Not Enough?
Well, yeah, tears are not enough, yeah.
So you didn't have any little solo, that was it? It was just that repeated over and over again?
No, I did. I got to vamp out at the end, because I hung out at the end when we were like doing, you know, kind of semi-soulful white overdubs, and that's what I did.
What group were you in with? Were you in with Mike Reno? Were you, like, dealing with Mike Reno from Vancouver? Were you lumped together with him?
No, I did something with Paul Hyde. I sang with Paul Hyde, and David Foster was the producer. It was all very frightening.
Yeah, it was an amazing assemblage of people there.
Yeah.
How did people react to you? Did they know who you were? Like, for instance, Tommy Hunter was there. Did you get to meet Tommy Hunter? What did you think of Carol Pope?
I can't remember if I met Tommy Hunter, but it was, yeah, it was like Anne Murray and Joni Mitchell and Burton Cummings and Paul Schaefer and John Candy and Corey Hart, and I was like, this whole cross-section of Canadian pop.
Carol Pope, do you know a lot about sex? How much do you know about sex, Carol Pope?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's always something you can learn about sex, but
have you been approached to do a sex talk show, or have you been approached to do any porn or anything like that? I mean, after all the years of being immersed in it there, Carol Pope, have you been approached to do anything like that? Have you turned down any offers?
No, I mean, I've written, if they want, like, sexy music, they usually come to me. So I've contributed sexy songs for, you know, TV and film, but no porn or anything. I mean, I'm not a porn chick.
Well, what about doing the Sue Johansson, you know, the Sex with Sue lady room? She's
yeah.
on, like, the David Letterman show. Isn't that amazing? Did you see that? She was on a David
yeah,
Letterman show?
I think it's great. I mean, I think, like, that's fantastic that a woman like that, who looks like that, is like, she's kind of like a housewife, is doing a sex show. I mean, I think that makes it easier for people to relate to.
How sexy will the show be on Sunday night at the Railway Club, Carol Pope?
I don't know. It just depends on whether people think we're sexy or not, you know.
How much do you get to practice during the year? In other words, how many gigs do you usually do a year, Carol Pope? Like, you're playing at the Railway. How many gigs do you do a year?
I don't know. Like, somewhere between, I don't know, around 100. I'll probably do more this year because I'm trying to push the record. And there's also a remix album, too. There's a Transcend remix album coming out. And with DJs from all over the world doing remixes of just 4 songs on Transcend, but it sounds pretty amazing. It's not finished yet. It's, like, out of control.
Carol Pope, how hard is it to get pickup bands? Because oftentimes you go into a town, you pick up musicians. How hard is that, and how old school is that? Because that's what, like, Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry used to do. How hard is it to get pickup musicians?
It's hard. I mean, I don't usually do it except here because, you know, it's hard to fly people in if you're doing, like, a one-off gig. Well, I'm flying my guitar player in because I can't live without him. But, yeah, it's hard to, unless I know musicians here, which I don't. I don't know. I mean, I'm using a drummer that I don't know what he sounds like, but we heard he was good. So,
Do you have any horror stories from using pickup musicians? Or any hints for people listening that want to get a band together? Carol Pope's hints for putting a band together, a pickup band.
Well, I think just trust the people who recommend the musicians. I haven't done it. I mean, I think we used to do it way more in the early days, but there was a really good crowd. It was usually musicians from Toronto, and they were all great because there was a fantastic scene going on. So it hasn't been too much of a nightmare. I mean, you know, if it's a nightmare, you never use the person again, and everybody just looks at each other in horror. I think that the more horrific stories are people, like, you know, who I've played with who've been, like, high on something and who, like, pass out in the middle of a song, or you think their head's going to explode or something because they're doing lines or something on their drum kit, or, you know, so it's more like that.
How do you get them to keep going after they pass out? Like, what happened there?
You just wake them up. Or I've actually kicked people in the ass. I mean, you know.
Did they ever remember you kicking them? Or are they like, why are you kicking me?
No, they're too, you know, stoned.
Carol Pope, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, this Sunday to the Railway Club, 604-822-2487, UBC-CITR, if anybody has any questions for Carol Pope. At the beginning of the show, I don't know if you heard, but I played a little 60s number there. I don't know if you recognize that at all.
I do, but I can't remember is that a Passing Fancy?
It is indeed. That's incredible that you remember that, Carol Pope.
Well, I knew that the lead singer, actually he was like Kevin Staples' best friend. So that's why I knew that song.
That's Kevin, your bandmate from Rough Trade.
Yeah.
I love that tune. It just sounds so punk. What do you remember about A Passing Fancy and the 60s punk scene out of Toronto? Because that tune is just awesome. I love it.
Oh, there's, like, a lot of amazing bands in Toronto in the 60s, like
Well, the Ugly Ducklings, right?
The Ugly Ducklings, who I went to high school with.
And Kevin, your bandmate, was a roadie for the Ugly Ducklings?
Yeah, and then he got asked to be a roadie for the Doors, and he turned them down. What is that about?
I guess it would have been okay because he didn't really have rough... Well, I guess he did. He start. How long have you been with Kevin doing... It was right off the bat, wasn't it? Like, from 68, wasn't it?
No, Rough Trade started actually in the 70s. Well, we did have a little band called O in 1968.
So could have he done the Doors, or you don't think you would have hooked up with
he
them then?
He just didn't... Kevin's, like, so Canadian, he never likes to leave the country or leave Toronto. He's one of those guys, you know. I mean, he'll leave Toronto, but he... You know, the thought of, I don't know, it was just too much for him, I think.
That is so awesome that you remember A Passing Fancy. What was that scene like? Were they, like, total, like, teen punk rockers like the Ugly Ducklings, A Passing
Fancy?
Well,
I wouldn't call it punk. I mean, you know, it was 60s music, so the term punk did not exist then. But they were all, you know, everybody was kind of mod and cool and you know, stoned on acid. Oh, Luke and the Apostles and Kensington Market and,
And you also, Carol Pope, had a chance to interview Hendrix. Is this on videotape?
I believe it's on film somewhere. I mean, they cut my questions out, but, yeah, it was actually a documentary film. I got to interview him, and...
Have you seen the film recently? Can people check it out? That's pretty cool, like talking to Hendrix.
No, I haven't seen the film. The filmmaker was Alan Collins. Maybe it's in the CBC archives.
It was a CBC production then.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened with the film. I just remember, you know, I was like this teenager, and this friend of mine was a filmmaker, and he said, "Do you want to interview Jimi Hendrix?" And I was like, "Okay." And so I did, and everybody in the room, I think a soft machine opened for them, and I walk into this dressing room, and everybody's stoned on acid, and I was getting high just from, you know, the room, a contact high, as they used to say. And Jimmy was really charming, and I was like kind of really nervous, but just in awe of him. And
how big was Jimi Hendrix? How tall was Jimi Hendrix, Carol Pope?
I don't think he was that tall. I mean, he was taller than me, and I'm 5'8". I would say he was like 5'11".
Did you ever get a chance to meet Brian Jones because the Ugly Ducklings backed up the Rolling Stones back then?
No, but I did see them open for the Stones. And Brian Jones, you know, was really...
Short.
You know, yeah, I guess he was short, but he was like, he just had more charisma than Mick Jagger. I think that maybe Mick and the other guys killed him because he was like stealing all the focus. I don't know.
You said in your book, Carol Pope, about the Canadian Plastercasters waiting for Jimi Hendrix. Was there a Canadian version of the Plastercasters, you know, those famous ladies, Cynthia Plastercaster out of Chicago that took moldings of Hendrix included?
I'm not sure. I think there was. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, people were, those chicks were just waiting. I mean, they were just concerned with everybody's dick size, you know.
I was just wondering if they preserved that dick size through molding, you know, like the original Plastercaster. The Canadian version sounds pretty interesting.
No, you would think there would be. I mean, that would be great, but I don't know of one.
Carol Pope, Toronto, early Toronto, The Sailors featuring Rick James. Did you ever see The Sailors, Rick James' first band?
No, but Rick James used to come to Rough Trade's gigs, and he was pretty annoying, actually. He wasn't the nicest guy.
Did you ever see him with the Minor Birds, or did you ever see Neil Young perform back then when Neil and Rick were in a band together?
No, I think I may have seen the Minor Birds, and I know I saw was it Steppenwolf then, or was there something else?
The Sparrow, perhaps.
The Sparrow, yeah, Jack London and Sparrow, who became Steppenwolf, right.
Because it was a really interesting scene there. You mentioned in your book Webster's, a place where you could order a bowl of whipping cream.
Well, yeah, because we used to, like, smoke, like, 13 joints in the morning, and then you'd go to Webster's, like, which was the Greasy Spoon, and order really ridiculous food.
My friend Bev Davies, a photographer who took a lot of photos back then and now, hung out in that scene and actually knew Tanis and Janine, who knew Neil Young.
Oh, my God.
Did you know Tanis and Janine?
Yeah.
How could you explain to the listeners about Tanis and Janine? Because they were pretty... Actually, it was Tanis and Janine and my friend Bev. And all three of them were going to go with Neil Young to California. Except Bev wasn't allowed to go to California because she didn't have the money. Neil said, you can't go. But Neil took Bev's sleeping bag and never gave it back. They later reconciled on everything. But Tanis and Janine were her best friends, and they used to hang out at Webster's, and they said that Neil used to listen to California Dreamin' on the jukebox there.
Wow.
Were you around that same scene?
I just remember them, and I just remember they were groupies. I can't remember that much more about them. But I remember the names, and I kind of vaguely remember what they look like, but that's it.
Have you ever talked to Neil Young about that time? Or do you talk to Neil Young ever, about that time?
No, the only time I met Neil Young, and I would actually love to interview him, the only time I met him was during Tears Are Not Enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. After you were, so close, you must have been so close to meeting him many, many times, being ground zero there.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't. I mean, because there were so many musicians coming through, Yorkville at that time.
How about David Clayton Bathwater? Did you ever meet him at all?
You mean David Clayton Thomas?
Yes, David Clayton Bathwater, because he was so conceited he would drink his own bathwater.
Yeah, I met him.
And we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead to Carol Pope.
I was just wondering if Carol ever sang with Dusty or made music with her or performed with her.
Yes. She actually sang on backing vocals with my late brother on The Sacred and Profane, on the second Rough Trade album, for those who think young. And then she sang at our farewell concert, and we wrote a couple of songs for her that were on the White Heat album, which I think was just re-released on CD a couple of years ago.
Caller, are you into the Dusty?
Yes, I am.
How into the Dusty are you?
I have a 4-CD box set.
Is Carol on that box set, Carol? Are you on the Dusty box set?
I'm not on it, but I think, is that the Mercury Anthology thing?
Yep. Yes, it is.
Oh, so then there's a song that we wrote, Softcore, that she sings.
Oh, it's on the, it's on that.
Yeah.
In that anthology. Okay, I'll have to look it up.
And if the caller wants to check you out on Sunday night, will you be doing any softcore at all, Carol Pope?
It's all softcore, baby.
Well, thanks so much, caller. Anything else you want to add at all to Carol Pope, caller?
No, good luck with the show on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
And, caller, doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Okay, doot-doot.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and an Ardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. And we're live here with Carol Pope, who is coming to the Railway Club on Sunday night to perform. And, Carol, what's this Oscar hosting thing? Do you have any more info on this? Do you know what's going on? As well as, performing, you're hosting the Oscars at the Rail. What's going on?
I know nothing. I know nothing. This is all news to me. I know there's an Oscar party earlier at the Rail, I think, that starts at 5:30, right? Am I right? Am I guessing?
Probably. The red carpet, right?
The red carpet, yeah.
So head on down to the Rail at 5:30 for the red carpet. Just make sure that you pay the full cover charge when Carol comes on. And call her. Are you there?
Yeah, hello there.
Caller, go ahead to Carol Pope.
Well, my radio is fading, so I don't know if you've asked this question or not, but I'm just wondering about this Anti-Diva book and what you can tell us all about Anti-Diva.
Well, it's my life. What can I tell you about it?
Is there any good pictures in it?
Pardon me?
What kind of pictures are in it?
What kind of pictures?
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of pictures. I was looking at the book, Carol. There's not as many pictures as I wanted. A very detailed, amazing book, but not as many pictures.
Well, they didn't put as many. I gave them a lot of pictures, and they Random House picked them out. There's some, from the 70s and 80s and 90s, and that's about it. But, there's some good pictures of Rough Trade and us rocking out and Kevin and I when we were little embryos in the 60s.
Did your book get released in the States? How's reception been from other markets other than Canada? How'd you like that word, markets?
Yeah, it was in Barnes & Noble and things like that. So it's been pretty good. I mean, you know, I'm kind of a cult chick in the States, but...
What was the level of success for Rough Trade in the States? Like, would people have heard High School Confidential?
No, like that came out on Stiff Records, and they kind of went tits up. That label went tits up. But All Touch actually charted on Billboard, and so that was kind of the hit in the U.S., and we did Solid Gold and everything, and I don't think you can get any higher than that.
And I thought it was interesting you were actually touring with Bowie, and then Bowie asked you to do more dates, and your label said, sorry, we can't afford it. That's awful.
I know. Well, but in those days, you know, people didn't believe in tour support. I mean, we, you know.
But could have you raised the money yourself? Like, give us some money. We want to tour with Bowie. How expensive would it be to tour with Bowie?
I don't know. I mean, that was more like CBS, which is now Sony. They weren't into it, which is really stupid. I mean, you know, if that had happened today, they would come up with the money. But
how much money was necessary back then? Was it a lot more money necessary?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, getting us to Australia, I mean, I don't know how much money that would have cost, but I think it would have been worth the investment, because we were fairly successful in Australia, too. So,
caller, I think you're a Pink Floyd fan, aren't you, caller?
I've heard him before a couple times, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're a Pink Floyd fan. What is the connection between Rough Trade, and this is a little tidbit that I learned in the book, Anti-Diva, caller, Rough Trade and Pink Floyd. Is there a Pink Floyd, and I think you're a musician, too, caller, aren't you?
I can't even sing a note. I'm tone deaf.
Well, obviously you're a musician then. I have heard, and I don't know if this is true, Carol Pope, is it true that there's a song that you wrote for Pink Floyd floating around there ready for a band to cover and then make a hit?
No, that's not true, although I did go to England and, you know, try and write with David Gilmour for the for a Pink Floyd album, but they ended up using some guy. I can't even remember who.
What about the song? What happened to the song? Do you have the lyrics still? Because I'm thinking, like, a Pink Floyd, like, a rare song that the Beatles or Pink Floyd never recorded, and Carol Pope has.
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they used my lyrics.
But the lyrics are still in existence, right? Probably somewhere? You can maybe remember them?
Yeah, I think I do have them somewhere, because I have, like, boxes of lyrics. So, yeah, I'm sure they're around somewhere.
So is this some kind of, like, post-Roger Waters thing?
Yeah, it was post-Roger Waters. They were looking for a new Roger Waters, so of course they came to me.
Oh, yeah, perfect choice.
And it was for a momentary lapse of reason?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And how many millions? I don't want to make you feel bad, but did that sell a few copies?
Yeah, it did. Yep.
Well, thanks so much, caller. Anything else you want to add at all to Carol Pope?
I think that you've pretty much covered everything that I can think of, but it's very nice of Carol to come out to Vancouver and play for us all again. That's fantastic.
I love Vancouver.
Have you ever seen Carol Pope before, maybe in the Rough Trade days or anything at all, caller?
I wasn't quite old enough then, I guess. Maybe if I, you know, hadn't been, you know, stuck in North Country and actually aware of such things. I did see Carol on the Junos in the late 70s or early 80s, I think, but apart from that, I hadn't really gone to shows like that. I could see bands like the Stampeders and stuff, but I have seen Carol Pope live a few times, yes, and it's always been very inspiring how she gets up there with so much energy and can still rock her faces off. So.
Caller, where were you living in the 70s? Just on a little tangent here.
Oh, in Prince George.
In Prince George. Did you ever make it? Did Rough Trade ever make it to Prince George, Carol Pope?
Not that I'm aware of.
Like, when you played in Canada, did you only stick to the big cities? Did you do any, like, outskirts, suburbs?
Yeah, of course we did. Of course we did the burbs, but I can't remember all of them.
Well, thanks very much, caller, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we're speaking here to Carol Pope, who is coming to the Railway Club this Sunday to perform. 604-822-247, UBC CITR, if you have any questions for Carol Pope. And Carol, Rocket Robin Hood. You made a bit of money off the cartoon Rocket Robin Hood, didn't you?
Did I? I was a cell painter. That was my first job. Well, one of my first jobs, I guess. Because you could, like, smoke a lot of dope and just paint cells. And so, yes, I didn't make any money off Rocket Robin Hood, really. I mean, I think they paid us, you know, like, minimum wage. But it was a job where you could smoke dope, claim you were smoking French cigarettes and get away with it.
And also you guys took some liberties, didn't you, Carol Pope? Is it true that some of the animators painted schlongs and cocks into Rocket Robin Hood, and some kids actually saw this and actually went to air on the cartoon?
Possibly, yeah.
Without fear of litigation. And now, Carol Pope, are you doing the same thing with The Simpsons? Are you working on The Simpsons?
No, no.
No more animation for Carol Pope?
No, all I do is, like, sing and sometimes work as a journalist.
Carol Pope, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, of which you're coming on Sunday night. You lived in West Van for a little while. What was that like in the early 60s or mid-60s? Is that true?
I don't know. I just remember it was really beautiful, and my father was a maniac and made us move, like, almost every year of my life, and we moved to Vancouver, and we just didn't want to leave. I think we lived here for, like, 9 months and moved 3 times in 9 months, but I thought it was really beautiful.
Do you remember what school you went to or any of the schools you went to in Vancouver?
Upper Levels.
That's the highway, Upper Levels.
Was there a school called Upper Levels?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
I can't remember, but, no, I don't know.
But it was high up there?
It was high up there. No, I thought there was a high school called Upper Levels, but, you know.
We'll have to check on that. I'm not sure if there was, Carol Pope, but if anybody knows, 604-822-2487, UBCCITR, to speak to Carol Pope. And Carol, another Vancouver connection, you mentioned the band Kensington Market. John Mills played in that band. He also played with you. He played in a band from Vancouver called the Hydroelectric Streetcar, who had a giant Moog organ, and you talk about this giant organ in your book, and how this organ from Kensington Market out of Toronto, this band, possibly influenced the Beatles?
Oh, yeah. Kensington Market were very ahead of their time, and it wasn't an organ, it was a Moog synthesizer. But in those days, I think the first Moog was, like, really huge. You know, it was, like, a huge thing that took up half a room. But they had a... Yeah, they were very, very ahead of their time, and I didn't... I mean, I don't know if they told me that they thought the Beatles had ripped them off or been influenced by them. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it didn't come from me. I'm not saying it came from me.
Carol Pope, more Vancouver connections as well. I mean, you have so many Vancouver connections. The Western Front and Mr. Peanut.
Yes.
How did you tie into the Western Front and Mr. Peanut?
There was a group of artists called General Idea, a trio of artists, General Idea, and they kind of discovered us when we started playing at Grossman's in Toronto, and so we ended up meeting, you know, Mr. Peanut and all these other artists like Donna Dogmatic and all these people from out west, and yeah, we just all used to hang out together.
Carol Pope, speaking of the 1970s and stuff, 70s things, recently Paris Hilton lost her address book, and people have been phoning all the people listed in her address book, her electronic address book. Didn't you get a hold of an address book in the 1970s and start phoning people? How hard was it to phone people in the 1970s once you got these numbers, and could you actually get a hold of these people?
Yeah, we did. I think we tried to phone Barbara Streisand and Stephen Sondheim, and it was very easy. I know, we were phoning John Peters, who was Barbara Streisand's hairdresser, who ended up being a producer after that.
Because people actually answered the phone.
Yeah, now they did answer the phones. They didn't have personal assistants then, but I think we phoned a lot of people in New York.
So they actually answered then?
Yeah.
So it was a lot more fun to do prank calls in the 70s than it was now.
Yeah, because now you either get a recording or a personal assistant. You never get to speak to the person.
Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, caller. Go ahead to Carol Pope.
Hello, Carol. It's nice to talk to you. How are you?
Hi.
I heard a nasty rumor that I don't know if it's true or not, but is it true that the president and founder of Rough Trade Records, the label in London, England, got his name when he saw you guys in Toronto?
I don't know. I mean, I know we had the name first,
mm-hmm.
So I have no idea.
What did you hear, caller?
I just heard that, yeah, he was record shopping in Toronto to buy, like, he's buying records to start his new store and stuff like that, and he saw the name Rough Trade, and he said, that's a nice name.
It's possible.
Hmm.
did you think about going after the guy that started the label Rough Trade at All Carol Pope? And I mention this because in the 1970s, there was a band called the Modernettes out of Vancouver, and their lead singer was called Buck Cherry. And then years later, there was a slime metal band out of L.A. called Buck Cherry, and the Buck Cherry from Vancouver successfully sued the Buck Cherry from Los Angeles. So did you kind of contemplate anything about that?
I think we did, but we didn't bother. You know, because it's so difficult to sue people in Canada, you know, because I've tried to sue people before. Just our legal system doesn't make it easy. If it was, you know, if I was living in California, I would be suing everybody every second.
Caller, I think it's amazing, though, that Rough Trade possibly has a Canadian connection there. I mean, look, the label Rough Trade, isn't that amazing, Caller?
They started the Smiths.
Because that is the coolest label. Like, and the Smiths, and that ties into you, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Carol Pope, the Smiths?
Does that tie into me? How does that...
That ties into you because your manager used to manage Morrissey, right? Couldn't one of your managers manage Morrissey?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she... Once in a while, she'll step in and help out with Morrissey. Yeah. Yeah, Vicki Wickham. Yeah.
Have you had any connections with Morrissey or the Smiths at all? Have you ever hung out with Morrissey?
No, I would love to hang out with Morrissey because he does live in L.A.
Have you ever met him?
No, unfortunately not.
Well, you have to phone up your ex-manager there and get an appointment.
Yeah, it's true. I think I should meet Morrissey since we were both born in Manchester, and that alone is enough.
Well, caller, thank you very much. And unless you want to add to Carol Pope at all, caller.
Well, enjoy the Railway Club on Sunday.
Well, and thank you very much.
Caller, did you hear at all that Carol Pope is hosting the Oscars on Sunday as well at the Rail?
That's what I heard.
Well, thanks.
Is there anything, is that true?
Apparently, no.
But you are performing, though, Carol Pope. You are definitely performing.
I am performing on the night of the Oscars, which is insane, but yes.
Well, thanks so much, caller, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The caller, Carol Pope, mentioned Toronto. Well, not really Toronto. Well, yeah, actually mentioned Toronto, going into a record shop and punk rock and stuff. How did you guys fit in with the punk scene? Were you asked to play The Last Pogo? What did the punks think of Rough Trade?
The punks liked us. Yeah, we did play The Last Pogo.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not on the record, are you?
No, I don't think we are. But that... I don't know why we're not, but yeah, we did play The Last Pogo. And I think I just wanted to beat the crap out of everybody. It was just an irritating gig because there were so many bands and you didn't get to play very long.
How many cool Toronto female-fronted bands were there? Because there were quite a few, like The Poles. They were a punk band, right?
The Poles, Martha and the Muffins, who I love. I think they're brilliant. Well, they're kind of still around.
The Curse, right?
The Curse, yeah. That was just really about tampons. The B-Girls.
How about Zorro 4? Zorro 4.
I don't know who that is.
Fronted by Zorro, Z-R-O. How about Tyranna, fronted by Rabies?
Don't know that either.
Or the Sharks. How about the Sharks?
Oh, yeah. Sherry Kane and the Sharks, yeah.
Because it seems by that list of bands, there were quite a few females involved in the punk scene in Toronto. Did you find that unique to Toronto, or when you actually played gigs elsewhere across North America?
I didn't really think about it. I mean, yeah, there were, you know, there were chicks, chicks running bands. Certainly not as, there actually, now that you mention it, there were a lot in Toronto.
And how about when you played gigs? Did you ever have females opening for you in any of the bands? Did you ever request that?
I think the B-Girls opened for us once. I can't remember. I think we, you know.
How about Wendy O. Williams? Did you ever play with Wendy O. Williams at all?
No, I didn't, no.
From the Plasmatics? How about Klaus Nomi? You met Klaus Nomi before.
Yeah.
What was that like, and did you ever consider getting him to open for you, or would you have opened for him? How big was he at that time?
He was pretty big, but I think I met him when he was ill. I think I met him not long before he died, because, you know, when people used to get AIDS then, it was like they'd get it, and like 2 minutes later they were dead. So we just hung out with mutual friends in Harlem.
Did you have any run-ins with any Sex Pistols at all, Carol Pope, coming to the Railway Club this Sunday night, 604-822-2327?
No, unfortunately not.
No Sid Vicious or anything? Because you were in New York at that time when all that was going down, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was kind of, there was a great thing going on in New York, and it was like New York, Toronto, London. That was where it was all happening. But no, I never met or saw the Sex Pistols, unfortunately.
However, you did catch the Screamers, which I think is incredible. What do you remember about the Screamers? Because they're one of the most amazing undocumented punk bands from the West Coast ever. Except you had a bit of extra documentation on them, where I think you saw some Screamers cream as well.
Did I? Oh, yeah, right. One of them was one of the tomatoes. There was Tommy Tomato and Tomato DePlenty. And I forget which tomato. I was taking a shower with this guy at my friend Mary Lou Green's apartment. And it was a glass shower, and we were in the bathroom talking. I don't know. We were just having a conversation, and they came in and started taking a shower and, you know, doing boy things with each other.
Which they might not have done at the gig that you saw them play.
No, but they were great. They were a great band.
Amazing. I just love the Screamers. I'm so jealous that they had a chance to go to Toronto because they never made it to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. But you, Carol Pope, are making it to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada this Sunday night to the Railway Club, 70s Toronto, an interesting place. There's some other names winding up here, Carol, I wanted to run by you. Thor. Did you ever bump into Canadian heavy metal legend Thor, who lives in Vancouver right now? Do you remember Thor?
No, I don't.
You know, you got to keep the dogs away. You got to keep the dogs away. It was 1977. Thor. Also, Geddy Lee. What were your interactions with Rush? Did you ever share any bills with Rush at all, Carol Pope?
No, but I mean, I knew Geddy slightly. And we actually, the guy that produced a lot of their albums produced, I guess, the last full Rough Trade album. But yeah, I mean, they were just great guys. You know, we'd meet them at the Juno Awards and things like that.
Carol Pope, what about the tough guys? Like, I think of tough guys like, you know, Ronnie Hawkins or Stompin' Tom or Gatto, who has that song, Whip Me, Carol. What did they think of Rough Trade?
I don't know. I think they liked us. Ronnie Hawkins is, last time I saw Ronnie, he hit on me, which was kind of horrifying. I'm like, Ronnie, I'm a dyke, hello.
How do you know that Ronnie Hawkins is hitting on you?
Well, because he, like, dragged me into his trailer, and he always calls me Carolina. He goes, Carolina! I don't know, he just totally hit on me. I can't remember exactly what he said, but I was like, what the hell? And Stompin' Tom, I never met him, but I think he's amazing. And who's the other one you were talking about? Greg Godowitz. Oh, yeah, because he wrote that song, Carol Kiss My Whip. Yeah, he's still out there doing it. I think we actually played at Summerfest in August. Rough Trade played in Summerfest, and they were playing, and Doors of the 21st Century, and Journey, and Boston. So I got to see all these wacky bands that I would never in my life see.
Carol Pope, on a serious nature, did you ever run into Kathy Evelyn Smith at all in Toronto?
Yeah.
What's the background on her, for people that don't know? Because it's quite an interesting history behind her. The song by Gordon Lightfoot, Sundown, is actually about Kathy Evelyn Smith. And then later, Kathy Evelyn Smith ended up hooking up with John Belushi, right?
Well, when I met her, she was kind of a big stoner chick. And, yeah, she was hanging around with Belushi, and she was kind of trouble. I mean, I remember, like, after he died, that nobody would go near her. But yeah, she just certainly had substance abuse problems. That's all I can remember about her.
But how about the Gordon Lightfoot connection? Like, Sundown, the song, is about her. I found that was quite interesting. Like, a person was associated with John Belushi, you know, and maybe caused some bad things. It would be kind of like almost like somebody writing a song about Lee Harvey Oswald before Lee Harvey Oswald did anything to her.
Yeah, well, I mean, I only met her when she was, you know, all wired, you know, whatever. A druggie, so, you know, maybe before she got to that stage, she was great and obviously inspired Gordon Lightfoot, but, you know, I didn't see that.
Carol Pope, when you meet all these people, these amazingly famous people and stuff like Divine, they teach you some interesting things. Is it true that Divine taught you how to walk out on a check?
Yes, he did.
And you'd never tried that before at all?
Because
you were a nice Canadian.
Yeah, we were nice Canadians, but But I kind of love it. I mean, I love the idea. And,
what was the setup for that? Did Divine have enough money? Did Divine have to walk out, or just felt like walking out?
I think he just felt like, you know, walking out.
Was it a big meal, just out of curiosity? Do you remember what you were eating?
No, I don't remember what I was eating, but Divine really liked to eat. So, no, we were just in some restaurant. We were having a meeting in a restaurant in New York, and then he just said, let's, you know, walk out. And we'd never done that before, but it was kind of thrilling, and nothing happened, you know.
Carol Pope, winding up here, and we're speaking here to Carol Pope, 604-822-2487, UBC CITR. If anybody has any questions for Carol Pope, who's coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, this Sunday night, playing at the Railway Club. You were in Vancouver a few years ago, I think, for Music West, weren't you?
Something. Yes.
What do you remember about Music West?
That I was on a panel.
Yes, was there some panel that there was some sort of... What was on the panel? What happened?
I can't remember.
I just remember there being some sort of argument. Was there a neat argument on a panel?
Yeah, there was some kind of angry guy on that panel, but what was his name? I don't know. It's gone.
What was the argument about? Because I just remember about 10 years ago, I can still remember about this argument. Do you remember what it was about, Carol?
No, I don't.
Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead to Carol Pope.
Hi, Carol Pope.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks. Hey, I'm glad that you're in Vancouver. Do you remember Audio Master in Toronto?
Yeah.
I remember John Lang.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Small world. And I saw you a couple times on Youngster. You used to play with Diane Staples, I think.
Diane Staples?
Diane Staples. No, or sorry, Diane Brooks.
No, her daughter, Joanne.
Oh, Joanne Brooks. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Caller, what do you remember about Carol Pope and Rough Trade back then?
Oh, it was way, it was...
It was really, in the...
It was totally different than anything I'd ever seen before.
What did you see, caller? Just explain to the people that may not have seen it.
Well, Carol came out, she was wearing a blue jumpsuit. And I wasn't into punk, I didn't know anything about it. That was probably my first introduction to it. And... So, I went out right away and I bought the direct-to-disc recording. You know, that first one they released?
It's amazing, Carol, that a jumpsuit would be considered punk.
Well, I don't know. I came from a bush camp in northern Alberta, and I, you know, went back to Toronto, and my friend said, let's go out and see Rough Trade, you know. Matter of fact, it was John Lang's girlfriend. Remember Penny? I don't know if
you remember. Oh, vaguely.
Penny Regal, yeah.
Well, yeah, jumpsuits were kind of punk there for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for phoning in, caller. Anything else you want to add to Carol Popo? You can catch her this Sunday night at the Railway Club.
A little bit. We went to the same high school, Cedar Bray.
Really?
Yeah, I knew the guy who took over cell painting from you.
Oh, my God.
Small world, eh?
What's your name?
Dennis Casserly.
Did we know each other?
No. I didn't figure it would.
Cell painting, was this with Rocket Robin Hood?
Well, actually, they used to do the opening billboards for the Hockey Night in Canada, that outfit. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, Sonera, maybe?
No, I can't remember the name.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's just too much dope smoking.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys went to high school together?
Yeah, Cedar Bray.
Were you both in the same grade?
Well, actually, I think you were a grade ahead of me. I started in 1961 in grade 9. And I think your home teacher was Mr. Taylor.
Oh, God, I can't even remember.
It's going way back. But well, we were in tech, eh? We were tech cowboys, so we were sort of outcasts.
What do you remember about Carol in high school at all, Carl?
I can't remember. There was 2,200 kids there.
It was. You know what that was the amazing thing about high school was that Craig Russell went to that school and Nick St. Nicholas from Steppenwolf.
Is that right?
Eh? Yeah.
And he ended up in Oshawa after that, right?
Really?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah.
Wow.
And they used to call it, I can't remember the name of the band before it was Steppenwolf. It was Luke and the Apostles. Maybe?
No, it was Jack London and the Sparrows.
Oh, Jack London and the Sparrows, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, thanks so much for phoning in, caller. Really appreciate the insight. That's fascinating.
Yeah, thanks for, it's great talking to you, Carol, and I hope it goes good on Sunday night.
And come out if you can. And
I'll try and do that.
And thanks so much, caller, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
And we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Not where I'm here.
Go ahead to Carol Pope.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who are you looking for?
I'm looking for Nardwar.
You're live in the Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show, caller. And actually, you're speaking to me, Nardwar to Human Serviette, and my guest.
Who's your guest?
Who's my guest? Well, Carol Pope from the rock and roll band Rough Trade, also performing this Sunday night at the Railway Club.
Oh, awesome.
Did you have a question?
Well, I didn't have a question. I had a question for you, actually. Well, yes, I do have a question then.
Well, why don't you phone back after the show, perhaps, caller?
This is Mongoose calling, actually.
Oh, why don't you plug your gig then, Mongoose?
Well, Nardo, we're on tour. We've left Vancouver this morning. We're on tour for 2 months out to Halifax. That's why I was phoning you.
Whoa.
Maybe plug it on your show.
Well, you're plugging it right now on my show, Mongoose. This is Your Life, and you're on the air with Carol Pope. Have you ever heard of Carol Pope at all before, Mongoose?
Well, I do have a question for her. Is it Carol?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mongoose. Just excuse me. Have you heard the song High School Comfort?
Oh, yes, I have.
That's who you're speaking to. So you picked the perfect time to phone into the Nardwater Human Survey Radio Show and plug your gig, because not only are you plugging it to everybody who's listening, you're plugging it to Carol Pope, who's coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada to play the Railway Club. Anything else, Mongoose, you want to add to the people out there at all?
Well, that's awesome.
Well, thanks much, Mongoose, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
I'm breaking it, so I can't understand. So say hello to Carol for us.
Oh, no, Mongoose! Mongoose! Don't leave me! Mongoose! Doot-doot-a-loot-doo! Yeah! It worked! Well, thank you very much for phoning into the Nardwater Human Serviette Radio Show, Carol Pope. We really appreciate you phoning in, and people are looking forward to checking you out this Sunday night at the Railway Club.
Great.
And do you ever save the headlines, speaking of the Pope, you know, and Carol Pope, you know, all these Pope headlines that have been out there, you know, Pope released from hospital, Pope declared cured, all that sort of stuff?
No, that Pope scares me.
But have you ever saved any headlines just because, you know, it says Pope all over, you know?
No, I don't want to associate myself with that Pope. He's not my favorite Pope.
And right now we're going to end with the song Love Strikes Hard. What can you tell the people about Love Strikes Hard? I know I asked you about this before, but we're going to end with this right now. You're going to be playing this song on Sunday night, aren't you?
Yeah. What can I say? It's just about, you know, love, sex, obsession, the usual.
Actually, before we go, Carol Pope, right after we play your song, we're going to be having an interview here live with the rock and roll band Canned Ham from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and they're actually in studio right now. Canned Ham, are you there?
Yeah, hi, we're here in Ardwar.
Canned Ham, Rob, are you there? Why don't you put on your headphones just for a second there?
You bet, man.
Because Rob actually has a question
Carol. I don't. Big Ham.
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
I'm Big Ham. Hey, what was it like doing SCTV?
It was fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was just watching, I just bought the box set, and I mean, I grew up on that stuff, but...
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you gone to any conventions at all, SCTV conventions, and had people like Big Ham just go, wow?
No, I didn't even know they had conventions, do they?
I don't know.
They should.
I mean, once in a while I'll see some of those people. I mean, Marty's in L.A., and, you know, John Candy's gone, but... Yeah, that was such a great show, and a lot of those people were in Second City, and we used to go every night and smoke up. I keep talking about smoking dope.
It's okay. We're on the West Coast here. That's cool. Except for, I think that Mongoose guy, like, you know, he should maybe, like, lay off it. You know?
He's on tour.
Just out of curiosity, Carol Pope, I remember once speaking to Brian Connolly from Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet. Do you remember Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet?
Yes.
And he was telling me how he got, like, residuals because they did the theme song, you know, for Kids in the Hall, and he would have, like, little checks written to him, and it would be from South African TV and stuff. Like, he saw where Kids in the Hall were broadcast. Do you get anything like that from being on SCTV over the years, getting repeated? Have you found out that's been played in some weird places? Or do you get any checks for anything like that?
Oh, I get checks. Well, yeah, because I've written a lot for TV and film. So, yeah, I get checks from all over the world.
Any particular interesting ones? So, like, SCTV broadcast in, like, Lithuania or anything like that?
I don't get... royalty checks for SCTV. I mean, once in a while we get a check for... Oh, yeah, actually we do, because we did the High School Confidential. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really notice. I just go... Sometimes I go, what country is that? You know, if I'm really bored and I'm looking at my royalty check, and I go, what country is that?
It's hard to figure out what to do with all the money, isn't it?
Oh, no? If only.
Yeah. It's a real problem. So much money, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Or trying to get the money that they owe you. It's a whole other nightmare.
Well, thanks so much, Carol Pope. Really appreciate it. To hear it's Love Strikes Hard. Keep on rocking in the free world. And Carol Pope, doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Bye. Thanks.
There in my dreams, I reached for you like amphetamine. I was strong, so serene, till you offered me your mouth. I bound you with desire, you worshiped me with offering. Behind the veil of pleasure, love strikes hard, truth or illusion. Love strikes hard. We ride between sheets. You fall prostrate at my feet. In a room that is you, with walls that read my name. Where do I end? Then you begin. Behind a veil of pleasure, love strikes hard, truth or illusion. Waiting, love strikes hard. It can mess you up and leave you scarred. Love strikes hard. You give and I will take. You're a sacrifice I have to make. Your body is my sanctuary, my body lies in ambush. Behind a veil of pleasure, love strikes hard, truth or illusion. Waiting, love strikes hard, a complicated game tears you apart. Love strikes hard, love strikes. Love strikes. Behind a veil of pleasure, love strikes hard, truth or illusion. Waiting, love strikes hard. It can mess you up and leave you scarred. Love strikes hard. Behind a veil of pleasure, love strikes hard, truth or illusion. Waiting, love strikes hard. A complicated game tears you apart. Love strikes hard. Love strikes hard. Love strikes.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And you're still listening to the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard a little bit of Carol Pope there, who's going to be performing this Sunday night at the Railway Club. And now on the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, we have some other guests. And who are you?
I'm William.
I'm William.
And together you are...
Will Can Ham!
And if you could please move close to the mic, that would really be appreciated. We seem to always have this problem. And in fact, I think I've spoken to you guys before, haven't I, Can Ham?
You look familiar, Nardwuar, yeah.
Please
yeah.
explain to the people out there who you are in case they haven't encountered you before. Because I have, encountered you a few times over the years.
Yes.
I'm Little Ham. I'm littler than Big Ham.
I'm bigger than Little Ham. And we are Can Ham, and we are playing at the... This is something that Nardwuar taught me a long time ago. We are playing at the Lamplighter for our big erotic erotic thriller, come out of my mouth, erotic thriller CD release party. We are Canned Ham. We've been playing around Vancouver for the last 5 years and all over the world, entertaining the folks
and
with our very favorite type of Canned Ham song and dance. And Canned Ham is now into the phase two erotic
of our operations.
We are now dance and song.
Now, you're wearing a Canadian Idol shirt. Did you go down to that Big Ham?
I'm too old, Nardwar. Yes, I did. I went down there. I was like, I can sing, I can dance, I am an idol, and like, I need acknowledgement. And they gave me the T-shirt and told me to get out of there before the cops showed up.
I have a T-shirt, too, and I'll tell you something, man.
And you were Little Ham?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you, man, they are so into waxing there. And I'll tell you, when you come to our show tonight at the Lamplighter for our album release of Erotic Thriller, brand new set, full-length show, new outfits and everything, there will not be any waxing going on. No waxing.
Big Ham, what do you think about that? Carol Pope. You spoke to Carol Pope.
What cool. Does she have? Does she wax? What is that?
Carol Pope. I mean, SCTV. You love SCTV, don't you? Can you explain that episode that she's on? That's pretty exciting. Is it like Rough Trade? Would Canned Ham like to be on SCTV? I mean, could you retire
in
after
a parallel universe.
In a parallel universe.
I love the way you went, that was a good, what noise is that?
When we die and go to SCTV heaven, actually, we will be on SCTV.
The Bewilderbeast.
There is sort of that personal side of Canned Ham does come out on the new CD with Ham's Pad and Little Ham's Pad. There's a little insight on the new CD, like little. But
yeah,
Carol Pope, though.
The CR personalities a bit more. Carol Pope, yeah, I think we got to really learn about her personalities. And what about that mongoose guy, hey?
Learned about his personality, too.
You know, we have this thing where we believe that Nardwar on the West Coast that you should be imprisoned for
we're actually want to further criminalize pot. That's our new belief because it leads to bad fashion, dreadlocks,
go ahead and smoke
slacker
stuff.
Attitude.
But
we're not going to criminalize the pot, but so much the side effects, which is the everything like that.
If you're
going to
wear tie dye, that's 10 years, like no parole.
Okay, dreadlocks. If you're white with dreads, that's it.
Wrong 20.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
you guys, are entitled to be able to criticize other people, other bands, etc. But
we get criticized.
We're entitled to criticize you. UBC, you were supposed to show up for a show and you didn't show up here.
It wasn't our problem. It was a great show, actually, because
no-showed at UBC.
We showed up and they were like, what are you guys doing here? We're like, it's our show. Look here. I'm like, We forgot.
So we didn't forget, Nardwar.
So you actually showed up here at UBC.
And we got our $300, so that was great.
Because the rumor was you didn't show up, because all these kids came up to CITR going, where's Canned Ham? They didn't show up.
Hey, we were geared to play, so don't you worry about that.
How about the Zulu in-store? You did show up for that, and the gig actually happened. What happened at that?
We're very professional, by the way. I'll just have you know. You know, if we say we're going to play a gig, we're going to play it. But in the case of the UBC show, it was a lunch hour show. There was going to be free pizza and everything, and we love free pizza and money.
Yeah.
And
so we didn't get any pizza, but we got some money.
You play at Zulu Records, and how did this differ from what's happened in past for people that don't know? What's changing here with Canned Ham?
Well, there's a lot more dance involved than there was before. It used to be a song and dance act, and now really we've moved up a notch to the dance.
You actually got a choreographer. Combination carried in the movie
carried Brian De Palma and Carry On, the Carry On gang. It's a little bit of both.
Choreographer.
So I think that basically we just explained the Zulu Records show. And then
was the set. It was a cross between the Carry On British series and Carry.
And then Wednesday night we played the celebrities at the Men in Song night, which was fantastic. And then we swooped down to the Lotus and we did a short set of our new material down there as well. And the people, I must say, Nardwar, were pumping and grinding to it.
Yeah, people dance.
You're gonna have people a full so set great. Tonight, though,
but
at the Lamplighter.
This is the Vancouver debut. The Vancouver debut of our full new
set. Love the old Canned Ham. I love the old
Canned Ham Classic. You mean Canned Ham Classic.
Canned Ham Classic. Why?
It is a modern classic.
No, are you saying people are digging the new album, the electronica stuff, more to electro?
I don't know if it's electronica.
What if they not
dance?
What if they not like
don't
the other
it.
Stuff before? Like,
you know, don't label it, man. It's
you
music that
it,
you
though.
Can dance
you
to.
Labeled
you said electronica.
You did. You labeled it.
No, man.
You labeled it.
Have you listened to that song, Princess of Poptronica, on the new album?
I couldn't help. It's the first track.
Have you read the lyrics?
It kicked right in.
It's not the first track.
It was close. That's the overt.
It was halfway through the album.
Look, it was good.
Okay. Scan. Whatever.
Rob Dayton, you also play in Little Ham. You also play in July 4th Toilet. I interviewed you last time about July 4th Toilet. I think Big Ham was here as well when you did your 18-piece gig. Could you give a bit of update on that? There was no gig at UBC. There was a great gig at Zulu Records and all these other places.
Edmonton and Calgary, they know how to dance.
Calgary and Edmonton, they know how to dance.
But
yeah.
What happened with this 18-piece band you did for July 4th Toilet? Remember, you played at the Lice Hall.
A magical evening.
It was a rock fantasy. Evening. What happened?
It was rock fantasy. Well, we did two sets. We did an all ages and a night set. It was great because the all ages, it was like little 5-year-old kids dancing in bright light. And then, you know, then we put on the crazy disco lights at night, and it was adults dancing, and it was, everyone was dancing, and it was like cartoon bubblegum glam. We were all animals. You know, Ham played big giraffe, and I played Bernie Bird. We were all different characters from this KTEL album, and it was a full technicolored extravaganza of the land where animals are people. And of course the penguins opened.
You
too.
Broke the penguins.
Yeah.
And now they're huge. They're everywhere.
They opened for you guys.
And that was July 4th Toilet at the Wise Hall. That was
our 10th year. Yeah.
That was an 18-piece band doing rock fantasy.
Well, check out our website, www.july4thtoilet.com.
Another gig I wanted to ask you about was Miss Pussycat Quintron. I missed that.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
They invited us to play
Mardi Gras.
Can you explain a bit about the Pussycat Quintron experience?
Wow.
There's puppets
they
showing
are
off.
A full, they like, are a full
I,
show.
I
they
guess what I'm wondering,
show.
When you go on tour, you guys have seen a lot of bands, haven't you? You've had a lot of bands back up. You've backed up a lot of bands. Mm-hmm. How do they compare? Is there anything like Quintron and what happened?
No, let me put it this way. We almost didn't need to open for them because when you get an act like that, and this is something that we, of course, work and strive to please as well, you get a full evening entertainment because with them you get a puppet show and you get a live organ show. And you know, he's a mad organist. He's all over those keys, and there's a balloon drop, there's everything, and the puppet show's amazing that Miss Pussycat does. It's an incredible show. There's no show like it.
Yeah, and if you can't dance that show, well, I don't know. I mean,
have you ever played with any other puppet
shows? Yeah, I mean, you're getting pure organ histrionics from him, but you can also boogie to it. It's incredible.
Have you played with any other puppet shows?
We have our
like when you go on tour, how are you slotted into, like, for gigs and stuff?
Well,
like
first
that? You play in Calgary and stuff. Who did you play with there, and how are they?
The guy in Calgary was great.
B.A. Johnson.
Have you heard of B.A. Johnson?
Yeah, he's
a one-man band.
Yeah, he did some. He lives in his mom's basement, and he bought himself a Greyhound pass, and he was out touring the country. And
basically, the thing with him is he's basically doing this thing where he's a lonely 30-year-old man who lives in his mom's basement. Basically, he's indie rock taken to the ultimate end degree where it's actually good and funny.
And
it has redeeming qualities.
But what did people expect in Calgary? The old
great. And he does a pilot routine. He's got a hook
right now, and a
eye patch.
No one knows what to expect, Nardwar. And there's only one way to find out what you're going to get, and that's by coming to the show. Because, I mean, if you've been fans of Canned Ham, I'm pretty sure you're going to dig what we're doing.
And if you're fans, phone right now, 604.
And what you will get is music that you can dance to.
UBC CHRs, like old Canned Ham, or do you like new Canned Ham? What should their new direction
be?
That's
the thing.
That's
the funny thing. Our old CD is not out of print, so you can still get the old album. We've kept the old CD. They're still in print.
All we've done is we've changed. We're now using another 10% of our brains. We use 10% of our brains.
It's still us.
This is a new 10% that we're using. It's the same brain.
It's a different 10%, Nardwar. I mean, gee, I like old Canned Ham, so I hope they just do the same album they did last time. No, you don't want that.
Yeah.
Do you do any of the old songs? Like, do you do the Bubble
All
Band?
New show. All new
all
show.
New
show. You don't do
show.
Any old songs.
Did
anybody
songs?
Yell for any of the old songs?
Yeah, a little bit, haven't they seen it the last 3 or 4 years? I mean, we've toured it a lot. They've had ample opportunities to enjoy
Couldn't
it.
Could you
time
do
time
any
time
updated
again?
Versions of
we
the
might
albums?
Do a medley. We might throw in a medley of the hits, you know?
Yeah.
And recently, well, I don't know if recently, but you've had some celebrity fans. You have Neil Hamburger, who's a great supporter of the Canned Ham.
Fabulous. Thank God for him.
Did Sum 41 get on top of you guys as well?
Yeah.
What was that all about?
They just like us.
They just like us.
Have you had any gigs with them?
No, no, I don't think we can't. No, I don't think so. Not yet. We haven't, but we're hoping. We're welcome.
We've made the
offer. How did you find out that Sum 41 liked you guys?
How did we?
They posted a thing on their website saying that. Well, first we had all these Sum 41 fans coming to our site, our canham.com, and signing our guest book, saying that Steve-O's from Sum 41, so this
he's
is
the drummer, right?
He was guitar player.
Well, guitar player.
You know, so but they you know, saying that the Canham is their favorite band and to check us out, and then so it was like, what the heck's going on? And then so I went to their website, and they in their tour diary, their like daily diary they do, they had mentioned that that we are their favorite band.
Where did they discover you guys?
I believe through. They're also fans of Neil Hamburger, so I think that you know, it's sort of a natural progression.
And also,
oh no, I know exactly the story. They were in a hotel room in Montreal watching Music Plus, where our old video Father and Son was the second biggest video on Music Plus, and they saw Father and Son. And that's how they got turned on to Canham.
And they love you guys. And that's through Dollar Clip. Dollar Clip?
An amazing,
Dollar Clip.
Amazing show. Basically, imagine, you know, the
show on Music Plus,
yes,
right?
Yes, and it was the most popular show on Music Plus when it ran. It sadly no longer runs, but it's Dollar a Clip. And basically, they show videos like Divine, Mr. T, and a lot of
White
really
Snake.
Old, yeah, a lot of old, you know, goofy videos. And then they started playing our video, which I think our video was one of the most current videos they would play on the show. So we were number two, and if you'd see number one, if you'd seen what number one was, Girls Boys by Pierre Nadeau, you would be honored to be number two.
Yes,
you number would. The number one video was.
Now, did I ever mention that we Canham are playing tonight, doing a whole new erotic thriller show at the Lamplighter Pub?
And you have a caller right now. Caller, are you there?
Yeah. Hey.
Go ahead to Canham.
Yeah, I think I heard you guys on this very show years ago.
Probably.
And I seem to recall.
Hey, well, we've been around that long. We're fresh.
So go ahead.
Yeah, I seem to recall you guys singing live on the radio.
That's right.
I'm wondering if you guys could do that again. I mean, was it Bubble Bath you performed years ago?
It was Giddy Up, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, we did Giddy Up. That's right. Yeah, which was actually
Now, are you allowed to do that now with your new direction?
Yes,
do you still have the tape of that song, Nardwar, kicking
it
around?
Let's see if we can find it.
No!
Guys, let's do a new song. Let's do a new song. Let's do Seafood Taco. Hey, let's do that live.
Oh, okay. We'll see if we can find it. Okay.
Yeah,
any other questions at all, caller?
No.
Well, thank you, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
See you tonight at the lap button. Okay. All right, here we go. Well,
we're singing.
Let's
okay.
Let's
it's been around for thousands of years, but it's just catching on. Underwater, she said, even a fish shouldn't drink the water. Seafood taco. I have the stick that broke the pinata, but it wasn't candy. Como del macho, she said.
No se necesita tener mucho dinero.
I don't understand what she said. A woman needs a man like a fish needs a sombrero. Oh,
come on. Oh, hey, ho. Tico taco. Oh, hey, ho. Oh, hey, ho. Tico taco. Oh, hey, ho.
Oh, way,
yo!
Oh, way,
yo!
Hey,
yeah. That was us. That was us, Can't Hands.
Live in the studio.
That actually was pretty amazing. The new direction is incredible, Can't Hands.
That's why we had to take it, Nerdwar. So, you see? I mean, I know there was a lot of
old
stuff.
But to address the caller, what was the caller wondering? They wanted the old song,
Giddy Up. They wanted the old song, Giddy Up, because we had sung that before on the radio a couple of years ago.
But instead, they got the brand new Seafood Taco. Who came up with that line, I broke the piñata?
Oh,
because that's an amazing line.
It's a lack of sleep. Huh?
Yeah.
What is the line? What is the line?
I held the stick that broke the piñata, but it wasn't candy coming down at you.
Now, who came up with that? Who's the lyrical genius behind that?
Sleep deprivation.
But which one of you, Big Ham or Little Ham?
I have to get to Little Ham.
Little Ham came through. Yeah. And whose idea was it for the fish to wear the sombrero?
Well, that would have been that taco franchise.
Simply an observation.
It was simply an observation of all that we were on. Had the rock group Journey. They've written 5 or 6 road songs, and we plan to do the same because Seafood Taco is essentially a road song. Because while we were on the road on tour, we saw a lot of these seafood taco places where there'd be these fishes with sombreros.
Caller, are you there?
I'm right here, caller.
Go ahead to Canned Ham. Do you like the new direction of Canned Ham? What do you think?
I haven't even heard any of this stuff before, but I have a question for Rob.
Go ahead.
Who's Rob?
Mr. Dayton.
Little Ham.
He's not here.
Little Ham.
Little Ham can answer your question, though.
All right, Little Ham. A long time ago, back in about 1990.
Back in the day?
Get the hippie off the air. How do we get rid of that?
No, leave him.
Get the hippie off the air.
Okay.
I want to get the hippie off the air.
There was a film festival at Andaclub.
The art? Can we get rid of the art hippie now?
That's right.
All right.
And there was this film, I guess you had done, where you guys had done a mock band at the Blue Lizard Lounge from Trick Ball Out. Do you remember that?
Sure.
And I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, you know how I remember this stuff? Footage. It's always document everything. That's my advice to everyone. If you can't remember things, just document it. That's what happened. You know, there's a document of it, so therefore I remember it.
Caller!
If there wasn't a document of it, I wouldn't remember it.
You had this great parrot outfit on and stuff. It was pretty amazing.
Caller, Canned Ham have brand new outfits, don't you, Canned Ham?
That's right. We're wearing them right now.
They're blue vinyl, and they're sweaty.
Not only do they zip, they unzip as well.
Yeah. So, caller, you can catch Canned Ham tonight at the Lamplighter, debuting, basically, their new direction. You just heard the song Seafood Taco. Any other questions at all, caller, for Canned Ham?
The only other question for Rob is, after you did that to the Blue Lizard Lounge people, did they try to get you back?
I can't remember. They got me hosting something once a few years later. They pretended that they were hip with me, basically, you know, putting holes in their lounge revival balloons. We basically went in, July 4th toilet, went in incognito to the Blue Lizard, and we did a fake Martin Denny tribute called Hypnotique in costume. No one knew who I was because I was Dingham Foe. I was this woman in a total mask and outfit, and I unmasked, and everyone got all upset. There you go. I basically did Animal Call. The whole set.
That's an amazing tidbit you've brought up, caller. Thank you. And doot-doot-a-loop-doo.
Thanks for calling, though. I appreciate the call.
FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, Columbia, Canada, and you're live with Canned Ham. Are you there, caller?
Nice people remember things.
Hi.
Hello, caller. Go ahead to Canned Ham.
You rock, Canned Ham.
Thanks, man.
What do you think about the new direction, Seafood Taco? Did you hear that song?
It's very rocking.
So any questions at all for Canned Ham, caller?
Yeah. Are you guys going to play Northern BC?
Yeah, I set up as a show. We'll be there.
Well, I don't know, man. I'm from Northern BC, and that.
Come on, it'll be great. Go to Fort St. John.
I'm from Fort St. John. I spent 19 years there.
Is this Joe?
How'd you guess?
I don't know. I just thought it was Joe. How the hell are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, Joe, have you seen Canned Ham before?
We'll play the Woods After Dark Cabaret in Fort St. John. Troopers played there 8 times. We might as well.
Yeah.
Troopers played there. We'll be there.
Joe, any other questions for Canned Ham at all?
No, I just want to tell them they rocked. And what's with the doot-doot-a-loo-doo thing? Do you, like, go freaky if people, like, don't say doot-doot-a-loo-doot-doot-doot?
Not really. I just get bored if they don't do it. So can you please
Why do you get bored?
Well, I don't know. I just...
Don't get me wrong. It's a great gimmick. But,
I just like doing it.
Have you ever been interviewed at Nardwar?
I don't really feel like getting interviewed now by you, Joe, though. We're wasting time. Like, Ken Ham are here.
If you want to hear an interview with Nardwar, just pick up our tribute CD, Ken Ham Charisma Reimagined. We have a little moment with Nardwar on there.
It's
a beautiful moment.
Caller, Joe, just to let you know, the doo-doo-loo-doo actually comes about because after doing my show, I always thought it was interesting to dump the callers, but I never liked to dump the callers like, dah! You know, so I like to do it in a fun little way.
That's so nice.
Boom,
that's
caller, doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Caller, doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Da-da-da-da.
Oh, after all that, after building all that up, gam. Now, the caller has...
That was the weakest orgasm ever, huh?
Yeah. The caller...
A lot of build-up for
Joe
nothing.
Has seen you before. The caller has seen you before.
But he hasn't really seen us before, because he hasn't seen the new erotic thriller show that we'll be doing tonight. That's us, Ken Ham, at the Lamplighter Party.
See, with the last caller, you know, he was bringing up the 90s, and we're forgetting the 90s. I think the best way to move on into the future is to completely forget the 90s.
604-822-247, UBC CITR, to speak to Ken Ham. People hearing you guys think of different types of bands oftentimes. A few years ago it was Tenacious D, wasn't it? I don't know if I called you. Please move to the mic if you could there, Big M. I might have said that some people had called you a low-budget version of Tenacious D.
I think it's pretty hard to get any lower budget than... I mean, Tenacious D, do what they do, fine. But it's not really... There's not much in common. We don't have... I mean, there's two guys, right? And one of them's kind of bald and one of them's kind of fat. And, you know, well, they're both fat and one's bald. And, you know, we're sort of, like, of different sizes. And that's, you know, and, like Rob... Or Little Ham and I are different people, and so are they, and, like, you know, you and, what's your name?
We
have as much in common with...
I don't really get them. Don't say that, okay. Because they're friends with David Cross, and everybody loves David Cross. Actually, I think David Cross probably loves Can't Ham. Okay, so Tenacious D.
I don't get it. Stung by
Tenacious D, and then a few years later, stung by Junior Senior.
What happened to them? Yeah,
but, you know, it's funny, because when we started, people were saying things like, oh, because people go, funny and duo.
No,
and that's where it comes from, right? It's like, a duo and they're funny. And I honestly, and so they go, ween. You know, and I honestly can't, like, that's what it's, that started. I can't actually think of any modern duos that we can really
relate to. I think it's great that you've outlasted them all. You've outlasted them all. Tenacious D, Junior Senior Ween. We have Can Am playing tonight at the Lamplighter. And your new look is what?
Well,
and your old look
as
what? What is your new look and what is your old look?
We're really although we're not into modern duos, the Zip Code Rapist is probably as modern as we get when it comes to great duos. But I mean,
I was wondering, Little Ham, what was the winding up here?
What was the grand tradition of duos?
Yeah.
You know, and there is a long. We thought it only dated back to the vaudeville days. McLean and McLean, Wayne and Schuster, Abbott and Costello, all that stuff, and we really did tap into that. But we found out it goes back into the ancient dancing traditions of the Aztecs, and so we tapped further into that, and then we went, wow, we have to, and realize that dancing goes back to the basic pulse of the universe.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
And duos, what better exemplifies it than duos, because they date back to the Aztecs.
Let's cut through all this.
I just wanted to like help clarify to show the amazing transformation.
Yes.
What you were and what you are now.
Could
you describe what you looked like before, what you were doing, and what you're doing now?
A song and dance act.
What did you look like in
2001? Can Ham looked at what was going on in popular music. We saw that Britney and Justin were at the Grammy Awards wearing a lot of denim. We thought Little Ham, Big Ham, we got to get our stylist. In fact, said this is what is hot. This is what is now.
And throw in a couple scarves while you're at it.
Scarves while you're at it. So we wore denim because that was hit, that was current in 2001. In 2005,
and I was looking at, we were looking at the furniture in our respective right, places and saw that the stuff that wipes off easily is the vinyl.
And look, it wipes off. And we were taking from other people. Now we are not taking from anyone. People are going to take from Can Ham from the
new
look.
They were taking from us last year. You know, you want to know where, you know, we've ripped off or been influenced by a lot of things over the years. And I'll tell you, if you rent Cannonball Run 1, 2, and 3, you can see Paul Williams and Pat McCormick as Big Oss and Lil Oss.
Ladies and gentlemen, go out and buy our new CD. We are Canned Ham. The new CD is Erotic Thrower. Look at the cover. Listen to the music. And that's what you will be wearing.
Do you guys have a couple of questions?
Next week,
you
will be wearing what we are wearing.
Yeah. Time for a couple of questions. This is what you should look like in 2005.
A couple of questions. You're winding up with Canned Ham playing a Lamplighter. What time are you guys on tonight?
About around midnight, but get there early because it's going to sell out.
Get there by 10. Jordan Eisner is really good. He's opening up. So you get there by 10 o'clock at the latest. And I'll tell you, we are shoulda, coulda. It's not that we shoulda, coulda, but that everything shoulda, coulda been like us, and it wasn't.
Big Ham, you've been on an Ardwar Human Serviette radio show many, many times. In fact, one of the times you're on an Ardwar Human Serviette radio show, you told me the story about Pete Puke from Death Sentence stapling his balls to a bitch.
Yes.
Now, last week on an Ardwar Human Serviette radio show, I learned new details about that.
What's that?
Zippy Pinhead from the rock and roll band Biz.
I was just trying to get in on that, yeah.
He added some new details.
Yeah.
Now, what was the story? And I will add the new details. If you could tell the story, please.
The story that I had heard.
Remember, nobody's heard us before. Maybe.
This is basically Death Sentence were out touring, and make a long story short, I don't know what really the details, but they're in the middle of the Canadian prairies. They pull over to a rest area. Pete Nipplehead, Pete Puke, whatever, he changed his name a lot, got out in the rest area, had a staple gun, and like stapled his sack to a picnic table for something to do because he was bored.
Okay, that's what you told me a few years ago. What I learned last week on an Ardwar Human Serviette radio show was that after, I got a new detail to the story, after he stapled his balls to the picnic bench, he said, does anybody got a butter knife? So there's a new detail that it was stapled down and he got a butter knife to get his balls off the picnic bench. Thank you for initially providing that story to me years ago, I think probably during a Tank Hog interview.
Have you heard the story where Doug Donut got his head stuck in the steering wheel of the van?
Yes, but I want to hear it again.
Then the band members took turns kneeing him in the face to try to get his head dislodged from the steering wheel.
And then they actually had to bring that entire truck or whatever to a place that actually had to get it unscrewed, didn't it?
Then he finally got his head out. He threatened to quit the band, and they kicked the shit out of him.
That was
Death Sentence, the amazing band Death Sentence. You celebrated their 20th reunion last Friday. We're speaking of live
guys,
and coming up shortly, the CITR news, but coming up a bit later on, Canned Ham at the Lamplighter doing their debut performance. Is it your debut Vancouver gig?
It's not Vancouver debut.
Of the Erotic Thriller, just released here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Now, winding up, other sort of influences from you guys. I always ask this, but the movie Skidoo and Skyhooks. These are some things that Canned Ham wants you to check out. Skyhooks and Skidoo.
I mean, you know, when we talk about, blah, 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 yes, obviously what we're doing is us. It's very much us. It's Big Ham and Lil Ham collaborating together to make something that is us, Canned Ham. And, no one is a vacuum.
Yeah.
And we have a kajillion influences. And you know, like we said, the Cannonball Run movies, various things. And, of course, the movie Skidoo is great. It's the soundtrack by Harry Nilsson is definitely one of my lyrical influences. He's incredible. And
when we were in Australia a couple of years ago, we discovered the band Skyhooks and the fantastic children's entertainer Auntie Jack.
Auntie Jack, the early 70s children's show. A large woman with a mustache, glasses, and a gold boxing glove. Skyhooks size
that was
glam.
Mrs.
And Skyhooks was Australia's glam. They had a song called Ego Is Not a Dirty Word. A great great song. They had a lot of great, very chunky hits. And Skidoo, Skidoo is a great movie, Otto Preminger's Acid movie with Carol Channing. And Harry Nilsson did the soundtrack. And it's got Groucho Marx, Carol Channing. And the soundtrack is an incredible album if you can get it. Just to hear, you know, Carol Channing sing the song that Harry Nilsson wrote for her, the title track, Skidoo. Skidoo! Skidoo! And doesn't really matter but who you... She sounds a little like... Well, you sound a little like her. Yeah, she's probably one of your influences.
And we're going to end the Love Party Human Serviette Radio Show, ba-boom, with Cannonball, which I think is your greatest moment there, Big Hand.
Thank you.
That's
thank
you featured the vocals. Is this a cover? Is this a Chuck...
It's a cover. It's the cover of the theme from the movie, because we do owe a lot to
like
the
Chuck
movie.
Mangione, right? Chuck
Mangione. He really wrote it, and wrote Stephen.
Chuck Mangione again? Some background on Chuck Mangione.
I don't know. Do you like smooth jazz, Nardwuar?
Okay, Mike likes smooth jazz, and so Mike, do you like Mangione? Are you into it?
Are you a Mangione man?
Well, you might want to expand your library by getting some of that soft jazz.
What about Kenny G? How does it compare to Kenny G?
He didn't written a theme song for any Burt Reynolds movies. That's all I know. I haven't, you know.
Yeah.
So we didn't know.
Today, Kenny G writes a theme song.
We watched the movie. We heard the song. We went, oh my God, this song needs to be heard by the people because it's not being heard by the people. We have to work it into our show. Then we found out that it was written by, we thought, like, this is a great Ray Stevens song. No, it's not. Chuck Mangione wrote it.
Which is
and Ray
awesome.
Stevens originally sang it.
Which is awesome. So tonight at the Lamplighter,
we do tip our hats.
Yes, we will be here in Cannonball Run.
What else do you have coming up for
Cannonball? We want you
what's
to shake your booty.
We're going off and we're going to Canadian Music Week next week, and we're playing at the Horseshoe Tavern, and then we're going to go and play in lovely Ontario at Windsor, Hamilton, and London, then we're going to Montreal and Wakefield.
And then after that, when are you back? What's happening?
We're back, and we're going to be doing a full show. We're going to be playing with the legendary Blowfly.
In April.
April 5th.
Yes.
April 5th.
You're
that's
excited about that, aren't you?
It's the most exciting thing to happen aside from Can-Am playing tonight
at
the Lamplighter.
This
is
Blowfly.
And after that, any other tours coming up for Can-Am?
We're going to be going, we're going to be all over the world.
Negotiations,
so
yes.
Everyone from Melbourne to Halifax, we'll see you soon.
And when you've been on tour, have you encountered any hostility? For instance, in Yosemite.
This is
in
funny.
Yosemite. What happened at Yosemite?
Yosemite. Well, we had a drunk redneck try to kill Neil Hamburger. But the great thing, this is the great thing. You know, we've had very few confrontations with people. Like, there was this guy, we were playing at a campground in Yosemite, and he told us we were, you know, like that to pack up
our
gear.
Get back to the Castro.
Yeah, to get back to the Castro.
We were playing San Francisco last night.
Let's reverse for a second. Before you get into that, one second. Yeah. I love what you just said. We were playing a campground in Yosemite. That's awesome. That soundbite.
Right in the middle of the campground.
Just somebody switching the dial. And again, you're listening to CITR, FM 102, Cable 12, Vancouver, Richmond, Canada. Somebody switching the dial.
Lovely.
Just hearing that sound like campground in Yosemite. Yes,
beautiful
go ahead.
Mountains.
Well, yeah, we played the campground in the Yosemite, but we are playing with Blowfly, and the funny thing is, Blowfly is a legendary 70s...
He actually invented Porro rap.
Yeah.
He inspired Snoop Doggy Dogg. He's a legend.
So we're playing in... countless in Miami. We're playing in Miami a year and a half ago, and there was this fellow there with a mohawk, and he didn't seem to like Little Ham, and we were doing our song.
Well, basically, he was throwing stuff at me, and so I waved my bare foot in his face. And he didn't take kindly to that.
And then he tried to clock Little Ham with a mic stand.
The base end of the mic stand. He could have killed me if those other guys hadn't held him back at that last second.
And
I'm trying to sing my song. I'm going, well, whatever. He's going to bean me with this. He's going to kill me, but I have to sing the rest of this song. So, Then those guys held him back at the last second.
The show ends perfectly, wonderfully great, and then this feller like buys a Little Ham pin, and then a year later, it's like we gotta.
No, and he comes up to me and apologizes, and I'm looking at him, and the pin with my face on it is staring back at me, and he's apologizing.
Anyhow,
for killing
it
me.
Turns out that this feller is the drummer in Blowfly's band, and we'll be seeing him on April.
The guitarist,
band.
Actually,
the guitarist, yeah.
And he personally invited you guys to open. The
yeah, he did.
So we can do some further shit.
He feels bad for almost murdering me, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Can Ham, Big Ham, Little Ham. Coming up right now, the CITR News. But before the CITR News, a Chuck Mangione cover that will be performed tonight at the Lamplighter by
Can Ham.
By Can Ham. But right now,
early.
This is Cannonball by Can Ham. Why should people care about Can Ham?
Because if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling blue, if you want to dance, you come see our show. We'll make you happy and we'll make you dance, Vancouver.
There's makeup. There's vinyl.
as sweat.
There's cornrows, there's beads.
Yeah. What more can you want?
Thanks much, Kent Ham, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
Yo, Smeller Steve.
Greg Stump.
Lester.
Johnny Karate Guy. Get in the car.
What do you say when you write with no words?
Feeling.
Feel a song that's never been heard.
Sing it.
How do you know if you did it all?
Answer.
What do you do if you've done it all?
Cannonball!
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 Cannonball! It's not what you do, it's how you do it. Be anything you wanna be. It's not what you got, it's how you use it. You be you,
and I'll be me.
It's just a matter of style. You can fake it. My left or my right, feeling free. If you got the soul, you can make it. Move 'em out,
move 'em out.
Let 'em roll,
let 'em roll.
From sea to shining sea.
Cannonball.
What do you do if a mountain is there?